congregational singing and special music, and it's good to have people in church. I'll tell you, the last 4 weeks preaching with nobody in here is interesting. Amen. But I'm glad to see you here this morning. Psalm 105. We're going to look at Psalm 105. We're going to share a message entitled "The Marvelous Works of God" out of Psalm 105. And while you're opening your Bibles there, if you're watching live stream, while you're opening up, just a couple announcements. We'd like to have a choir going again for Easter. And so if you're interested, you were in the choir or you'd like to get into the choir, I don't know whether we're going to have a choir or an ensemble or what it's going to be. Amen. But there's a sign-up sheet up here, and it's got fancy blue tape holding it on the table. You can't miss it. And if you're interested in singing in a choir, just sign up so we know how much music to put together and all that. We were going to do practice this afternoon. We're postponing it till next week, all right, because I need to find out who's going to be doing this. And so if you're interested in choir, sign up. And our first practice will be next Sunday at 4:30 in the afternoon. Remember that we're back into our normal schedule, 9 a.m. live stream, in person, and also children's church. And Pastor and Mrs. Petrozello are overseeing that. And so that we're excited about getting the kids back in church. And excited about getting you back in here. Remember that 10:30 is just in-person worship. Then at 5:30 is our discussion panel, and then 6 o'clock tonight is our in-person and live stream also. So we want you to be a part of that. Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, time to gather together and pray and pursue the Lord and intercede for each other. And so I want to encourage you to be here. Of course, Wednesday nights will be at 7 in-person, also live stream. And so my prayer is that we'll be able to get, by the summertime, get back to a point where we have everybody in one church service with Sunday school going. Amen. So we have Sunday school and then we have church. And the other thing is about soul winning. We're wanting to get some things going for soul winning. So we're trying to figure it all out. Amen. It's a strange, strange world that we live in. But I know my God is able and I know his works are marvelous. And so I want to share this out of Psalm 105 this morning. Beginning in verse 1. Says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations." Let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning, to be able to study the word. Thank you for the time around the communion table. And Lord, we are a blessed people to be able to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into this world and died for sinners like us so that he might be able to redeem us from all of our sins. And he did that by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. He died, was buried, and he rose again, and hallelujah, he's coming again. And so, Lord, we come with a grateful heart this morning. We come with a spirit of praise on our lips to thank you, God, for all your marvelous works that you have done. I pray for your blessing on the preaching of the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our text verse is verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Psalms are written for the purpose of worship and praise. Many of the psalms are very long in length. Some of them are just short in length. This psalm is rather long. If we were to go through the whole psalm, it has 45 verses in it. It's interesting that it would seem that David gave this psalm to Asaph, to be used in the daily worship in the service of the sanctuary. And if you go back, I'll just read the verse for you. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7 says, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm. And this is Psalm 105, is written in also 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 16 and 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And their job was to lead the people and the sanctuary in worship and praise of their God. And this psalm is the psalm that David delivered to them to use on a daily basis to lead the people in worship and praise of their God. Many times the burdens of life weigh us down to the point where we forget our God. Many times when we go through some difficulties and trials in our life, our faith becomes weak. We become shaken in our commitment, our resolve to God. And yet we need to believe and know and trust that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. And in those times when we're weighed down and discouraged, we need to realize that God can refresh us and God can stir us and God can challenge us and move upon us a spirit of praise and worship of who he is. This psalm deals with the marvelous works of God in verse 5. Notice, I thought of this, the marvelous works of God in the creation. And I think we sometimes lose the wonder and the sense of awesomeness in reference to the creation of God. Chapter 8 of Psalm in verse 3 and 4, David said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And so the wonder, the marvelous works of God in reference to creation. David looked into the heavens and saw the stars and saw the vastness of the universe and contemplated in his heart all that God has done. Why would he be interested in me? And yet God is interested in each and every one of us as individuals. I thought about creation as far as man. God created man in his own image. You talk about a wondrous and glorious work that God would create us in his image. Male and female, it says, he created them. And just thinking that oftentimes people are dissatisfied. That's why in America, cosmetics is a multi-billion dollar business. Why is that? Because people are not satisfied with the wonderful work of God in creation. The psalmist would say, I am wonderfully curious. What did he say? I lost it. Amen. It went right out. Man, I'm not going to get it. I am wondrously, gloriously made. Amen. I guess that's what it is. It sounds good to me. Amen. We often are this whole conflict and situation that we're dealing with, transgenderism and everything else, is just people being dissatisfied with who they are because they are not acknowledging the fact that God has done a wonderful work, a miraculous work in us, in that he has created us in who we are and what we are. And we need to rejoice in the glory of God that he would create us, that he would place us this world to enjoy the things that he has created. You know, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden because they were dissatisfied with what God had given them. You think of that. The Garden of Eden was glorious. I mean, they had everything they needed to sustain life. It was a beautiful garden. It was a perfect garden. It satisfied every need that they would have as human beings, as they would dress it and care for it, enjoy even God in the midst of the garden. But no, they weren't satisfied with that. They wanted more. They wanted something else. And as a result of it, when we refuse to glorify God in reference to his creation, I'll tell you, we'll try to manipulate things, we'll try to alter things, we'll try to create things in our own minds, in our own psyche, if you will. And as a result of it, it causes us to move away from God. It causes us to lose faith. It causes us to lose hope. And so I just thought about the marvelous works of God, the creation of God. I thought about the redemption of God. Now, we've sung this morning about the redemption of God. Tommy's song he sang this morning was about the redemption of God. Psalm 136:24, and it says, "And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever." If there's one thing that we need to always grab a hold of, no matter what fear may be gripping us, no matter what oppression may be facing us, no matter what enemy may be surrounding us, God has redeemed us from all of our enemies. And he is a wonderful Savior because he has redeemed us from all the struggles and problems by his mercy that he has extended to us. And the redemption of God is amazing. You know, you look at other religions, you look at other sources of supposedly trying to pursue God, and what's required of man in order to approach God, it's alarming. And man can't add up to it, but God in his grace and God in his mercy has redeemed us from all of our enemies, redeemed us from all of our sins. He's given us everlasting life, and I have to say, his works are marvelous in our sight. Amen. So I see the creation of God. I see the redemption of God. I see the salvation of God. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I'm thankful for the salvation of God that it does not require of me anything in order to be saved. But rather, Jesus Christ has done everything that is necessary for us to be saved. I'm thankful the salvation of God is not limited to a certain race of people or a certain nationality. The salvation is not limited to a person who is wealthy or a person who is poor. I'm thankful that the salvation of God puts every man and every woman and every boy and every girl on the same plane. And we receive Christ the same way. And that salvation is completed in Christ. And that salvation secures our soul for all eternity. I'm thankful. It's a marvelous thing to think of the fact that God would save us. And just thinking, just those three aspects, creation, redemption, and salvation, encompasses everything that we are and everything that we may experience in life. And so marvelous are his works. So let's go through this psalm and look at a few things here. I divided it up in a couple different ways here. Notice in verse 1 and 2, because his marvelous works of God, we see the expressions of praise that is offered. In verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." And so I see expressions of praise starts out with giving thanks. And having that spirit upon us, a grateful heart for all that God has done. And so our worship begins with thanks. Oftentimes in the world we're living in, it just seems like people have so distorted and corrupted worship as being something that what I demand or what I want to experience or what I prefer or how I want to do it. And worship has nothing to do with that. Worship has everything to do with the glory of God. It has everything to do with the wondrous works of God in our life. Our worship is nothing more than us coming in his presence and giving him thanks, acknowledging who he is. You know, Romans chapter 1 said, "When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful." And what was the outcome? "Therefore, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." And so I believe all worship and all praise, all expressions of praise, starts with a spirit of thanksgiving to God. Give thanks unto the Lord. Giving thanks, why? Because I think, first of all, because of divine revelation. Look over in Daniel. Keep your finger here. We'll come back. But in the book of Daniel, we want to look at Daniel chapter 4, divine revelation. And don't do like I did. I just started turning to the left. I'm like, why am I going to the left? Daniel's to the right. Amen. See, you guys got me nervous because I'm not used to people being in here. Amen. Daniel chapter 4, divine revelation. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 1 said, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied on you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought towards me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. And so we see divine revelation is a universal revelation. What was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel would make known. And as Daniel would make it known, it was a message that was universal. I'm thankful that God doesn't just limit the revelation of who he is to one area of life or peoples. And I'm thankful the message of Jesus Christ is for everybody and touches every heart. And so divine revelation, he says, I want every nation, I want every language, I want all the people of the earth to understand this high God of Daniel. And so it's a divine revelation because of a universal message, but it's an eternal kingdom because he states in verse 3, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his domain is from generation to generation. You know, the God that we love, the God that we serve, the God that we surrender to is the God of the past and he's the God of the future. And what people need to know is that God does not change. His message is eternal because it established an eternal kingdom, and our generation to come need to rejoice and celebrate and be thankful for the marvelous works of God. So it's divine revelation. In Daniel chapter 6, continuing with the thought here of Nebuchadnezzar and with Daniel, this giving thanks because of divine revelation, but also because of supernatural protection. Now we know the story. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, but in Daniel chapter 6, in verse 25 through 28, it says, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages. It's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar did that same thing. And now Darius is doing the same thing. He's writing to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell upon the earth. See, the message is universal and it's eternal, no matter who is in the position of leadership. It does not matter who's in the White House. The message is still the same, and it goes to every person in every language and every nation from generation to generation to generation. So he says this, Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwelt upon on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Wouldn't it be nice to see a letter like that from the White House? Wouldn't it be nice to see a letter like that come out of the Congress instead of somebody standing up and saying, prayers aren't relevant in the House of Representatives. God's not relevant. God's not welcomed here. Wouldn't it be nice if people in positions of leadership acknowledge the fact that there must be a supernatural protection from God? And here it is in verse 26. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Why? For he is the living God. And so he knows that Daniel's been delivered out of the lion's den, and his proclamation is that God is alive. He is alive. The supernatural protection that God can work in our lives is because he is a living God. He is not a dead God. Darius, Nebuchadnezzar, all those that led in Egypt and in Babylon all served false gods that were dead gods. But we serve a living God. Jesus Christ was crucified and was buried and he rose again. And listen, he lives forevermore. And the grave could not hold him. The devil could not defeat him. Our sins could not overwhelm him. He is ever living, alive God that sits on the throne of heaven. And so we have something to express praise in reference to giving thanks because of the supernatural protection of God. And may I say this, God can still protect us in 2021. I don't care what the problems are politically, nationally, militarily, or socially, or through disease. That doesn't rhyme, but that's all right. And I know this, that God is alive and he can take care of us. He can protect us. So Darius declares that he's a living God. Notice he also declares in verse 26 that he is unmovable. Because he is a living God, it says, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. So not only is he alive, but he is unmovable. And man may deny Christ, man may blaspheme Christ, man may do everything that he can possibly do to remove God from the presence and the reality of who we are, but God is unmovable. I am the Lord, I change not. And so we serve an unmovable God. And he's powerful. Notice in verse 27 of Daniel, it says, he delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And so we want to express thanksgiving to God because of the fact that he is a God that is all powerful. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And so he is all powerful. So we give thanks. That's where praise starts at. We praise God. Our songs that we sing acknowledge that he is alive. The songs we sing acknowledge the fact that he's all powerful. The songs that we sing acknowledge that he cannot be removed. And so we give thanks in our worship and our praise. So notice not only in verse 1, back into our text, Psalm 105, give thanks, but we sing psalms in verse 2. It says, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wondrous works. And singing psalms. I tell you, I was so glad to have you here this morning because we could sing songs together. And I know some folks are nervous about coming in church and singing and all this, that, and the other. I understand that. But I know this, worship is embellished and enhanced when God's people sing psalms unto their God. It enhances our worship. It's an expression of praise. Why? What is it about? It's about victory. We sing about victory. I love the song, Victory in Jesus. In Exodus chapter 15 in verse 1, it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath been thrown into the sea. What was Moses' song? What was the joy of the people that came out of Egypt? It was a song of victory. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so when we come to church, we come with the acknowledgement that we're coming in to sing praises unto our God. And the praises that we're going to sing about are in reference to the victories we've had in our life. What victories did you have this past week? Spiritually speaking, what victories have you had? How has God showed himself to you this week? What have you experienced in your time of devotion and talking with God this past week? Because of our experiences with God through the week, we ought to come into the church with a spirit of praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Because he has shown us that he is victorious over the enemy. Not only do we sing a victory, but we sing bountifully. In Psalm 13 and 6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And I'm thankful that God gives us abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I'm glad that, listen, God is not limited to what the stock market's doing. God is not limited by our trends in our society. And may I say this, the high-tech companies that want to censor everybody can't censor God, amen? God deals with us bountifully. And so let the Lord be our speaker. Let the Lord be the one who stands and fights for us. Let us sing praises because that he bountifully blesses us. And then we sing gratefully. And Psalm 147 and 7 says, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. And so just expressions of praise in this psalm because of the marvelous works of God. Remember the marvelous works of God. Why? Because it will generate in you expressions of praise and worship to your Lord. Secondly, I see this in verse 3 and 4. Enjoying his presence. Not just expressions of praise, but enjoying his presence. Notice in verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. And so we need to glory in. I just put letter A's, just glory in. How can you get any other point than that? Glory in. And then we have to consider what it's stating here in reference to what we're glorying in. He says, glory in his holy name. You know, Jesus Christ, his name is a name that's above all names. You understand that Jesus Christ, it's only through the name of Jesus that anybody can be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, glory in his name. Don't let somebody use his name as a curse word. Don't you let somebody take the holy name of Jesus Christ and drag it through the mud of this world. His name is a holy name. So we glory in that. What do we celebrate? Glory has the idea of celebrating, rejoicing, experiencing. We glory in his name. First of all, I just thought of this. And there's so many names of Jesus in the Bible, names of God, but I just kind of wanted to try to sum it up. His name is I Am. You know, when Moses was called of God to bring the children of Israel out of bondage, he said, well, who shall I say sent me? And God said, I am. I am that I am. And his name as I Am is a glorious name because it identifies him as totally self-sufficient and sovereign over everything. I am. I thought of this in Isaiah 12 and 4. It says his name is exalted and his name is to be lifted up in Isaiah 12 and verse 4. And listen, his name is not to be just a common name, is not to be just a part of a filler for our prayers. I've prayed with some people sometimes and man, I'm like, it's almost like you're using the name of Jesus in vain. Lord Jesus, oh yes, Jesus, amen, Jesus, oh Jesus, and Jesus, and Jesus. And I thought, I feel like stopping people when they're praying like that and say, is that how you talk to other people? When you're talking to me, would you be saying, and Michael, and Michael, and Michael, and Michael, and Michael, and Michael? We don't talk to each other like that. Why do we talk to God like that? It's because we forgot his name is to be exalted and is to be lifted up because it's a holy name. Notice I am exalted. His name is Jesus. Matthew 1:21 tells us, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is Emmanuel, according to Matthew 1:23. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. His name is the Word of God, according to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. And his name is the Word of God. And I just was thinking of that progression. I am exalted Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel, that is the Word of God. And I'll tell you, we need to glory in the name of Jesus Christ, enjoying his presence. when you prayed this morning, you understand you were in the presence of I am. When you cried out to God in needs this morning, this week, whatever the need was, you were crying out to God. You were talking to Emmanuel, and God was there with you. It's an amazing thing that there's never a time when we're separated from God. So we glory in his name. We glory in his name, and we seek his face, it says in verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. And we need to seek his face because of the fact there is life. We know that we worship him, we celebrate him because he is alive, but we seek his face because in him is life. And Amos 5 and 4 says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek me and ye shall live." If we want to be able to live, then we need to seek the face of God. Not only is there a life in his presence, but there's also peace. In just a couple of Psalms back in Psalm 27, in 27 and verse 7 and 8, says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." Why? Because in the presence of God is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We do not have to be stressed out and ripped apart in our emotions as we live in this wicked, corrupt, upside down world. Because we find peace in Jesus Christ. We seek him. You say, how do we experience that? Because of his marvelous works. Because of what he does each and every day in our life. And so we seek his face because there is life, there is peace, and there's provision. And Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God can take care of every need that you have in your life as we seek his face. Well, the last thought is this, verse 5 through 8, is pondering his power. Notice in verse 5, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth, O seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations," pondering his power. In other words, in verse 5, just remember his works. Remember his works. Why? Because in the works of God is true justice. You know, everything is cried that day, is everything's about justice, social justice, whatever the justice is. Everybody's looking for justice. I'm looking for justice. Everybody's looking for justice. Well, wait a minute. There, when we remember the works of God in Christ, is where we find true justice. Revelation chapter 16, I put it on the screen for you. Revelation 16:7 says, "I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." You say, how should I live in this world? True and righteous are the judgments of God. How should I deal with this conflict that's in my life? True and righteous are the judgments of God. Well, how am I going to deal with this world that's so corrupt and they're just so sinful? And they're true and righteous are his judgments. We must take a biblical worldview. We must approach life in the realm of knowing that, wait a minute, what God has said in his word works. What God has designed to function works. His creation, his redemption, his salvation is all outlined in his word, and it encompasses everything in our life. And so we need to look to God when there is a need for justice, because his judgments are always righteous. They're always right. Genesis 18:25 says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Man fails, man is corrupt, man makes wrong decisions constantly. But there's not one judgment that God makes or pass or imposes on mankind that is unjust. And so real justice is found in Christ. So remember his works, true justice, but also remember his works in reference to the process. In other words, how does God get us to a point of acknowledging and experiencing his wondrous works? How does God bring us along to get us in position to be able to actually experience his marvelous works to where we can remember what he's done in our life? If you haven't experienced the marvelous works of God, you don't have anything to remember. But I can tell you one thing right now, God has done marvelous things in my life, and I'm thankful that I can remember the grace of God and the wonders of God and the work of God and the justice of God. I'm thankful that I have a memory in reference to what God has done in the past. And so what is the process that God works in us? And here it is on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. Says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. So I don't like dealing with COVID. Join the club. I don't either. I don't like dealing with the political atmosphere that we have in America. Wonderful. I don't either. But you understand the process that God used to get the children of Israel to remember his marvelous works was to take them through the wilderness for 40 years. It says, God led these 40 years in the wilderness, and here it is, to humble thee. We have to be careful that we don't develop our spiritual arrogance to start blaming and demanding things of God that are not right. Because God is taking us through. I believe this. God is taking us through this time to humble us and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. The process of God taking us to a point to be able to remember his marvelous works as he takes us through these situations in life to humble us and to prove us and to really reveal to us what really is in our heart. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. COVID has revealed what's been in some people's hearts. This political atmosphere we're in, it has revealed what really is in people's hearts. We need to remember the marvelous works of God and rejoice in these things, pondering his power. Remember his works, the justice, true justice and process, but then be assured of his covenant. He says, verse 6, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. We took of communion this morning, and what is it? This is the blood of the New Testament, which means this is the blood of the new covenant. God has made a covenant with us. And God has made a covenant that goes from generation to generation to generation. And if we're not willing to ponder the power of God to deliver our souls from hell, what in the world is the next generation? Where are they going to draw these truths from? They need us to be that type of example. Marvelous works of God. God has done marvelous and wondrous things in our life. And so let's remember to have expressions of praise that truly is expressions of praise of who God is. But also let us remember to enjoy his presence. And I'm thankful that in the presence of God, there is peace, there are blessings, there's strength, there's victory, there's new life. I'm thankful that we can ponder the power of God that works on our behalf. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be together this morning. It is truly a blessing to see God's people. It truly is a blessing to be able to hear the songs of praise of the people of God. And Lord, we give you glory. We glory in your name. And Lord, I just pray that you would refresh us and renew us. I pray if someone's watching by live stream or someone's here in the building that's never been saved, God, I pray you do a wonderful work, a marvelous work in their life and save their soul. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's